And also Matthew Teague Miller, our artistic director again this year. Really, really enjoyed Superstar.
Thank you.
A lot.
We loved that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was mowing the yard the other night, and I Don't Know How to Love Him started rolling through my head. Yeah. And just good show.
Thank you. We were really proud of it.
Very well done. Good attendance.
Yeah,
for that,
absolutely.
I
yeah, I mean, yeah. It met our goals, and and onwards with the next one. Yeah, it never stops.
We roll on. Now, you folks both had parts in Superstar, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And why don't you introduce yourself there, Hank, and let folks know who you are and what's going on.
I'm Hank Von Kolnitz. I'm from Alexandria, Virginia, which is right south of D.C. If you saw Jesus Christ Superstar, I played Pontius Pilate. It's a little bit about me. And then I play Prince Eric in the Disney's Little Mermaid.
Okay. Yeah. And Aria.
I'm Aria Braswell. I'm from San Antonio, Texas. Hank and I both go to school as musical theater majors at the University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music.
Okay.
I was just in Superstar. I played one of the apostles. I also dance captained that one, so there was a ton of great dancing if you came out and saw the show. I'm sure that stuck with you.
And what are you playing in this show?
In this show, I'm playing Ariel in The Little
Aria
Mermaid.
Playing Ariel.
Yeah.
And how's that going? How's your dress rehearsal last night?
Great. It was exciting to see the show on its feet with all this amazing technical aspects. It's a big show.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see everything like coming together just in time.
Because, you know, we've just been rehearsing in our rehearsal space. And so to get to see the costumes and all the technical aspects, and there's, you know, fun little, I won't give things away, but there might be some bubble machines. So we've got a lot of really cool technical aspects that we're dealing with now.
I don't want to give anything away, but I'm going to give this away. I'll say that going from a giant show like Jesus Christ Superstar to an even more giant show, Little Mermaid, this has been one of the most intense turnovers from one show to another that I've experienced in my tenure here at the Showboat. It's been a wild couple of days, and it's coming together. It's going to be great tonight, but it's definitely, we've had our hands full over a 303 review.
Now, where do you guys usually do your rehearsals at? I know I've seen pictures on Facebook.
We have a rehearsal space that's actually donated by one of our sponsors, Zirkelbach. It's a warehouse space that he has over on 5th or 6th, just across from the police station. We have rehearsal space there, and we also have another space that's donated for us for some of our choreography rehearsals. Dance Makers Dance Studio is kind enough to provide us with a dance rehearsal space for some of our dance heavier shows as well.
Okay. Yeah, so it's great to have good local support.
Oh my gosh, both of those are incredible. Yeah, and for sure.
Yeah, we got a lot of good people who really like the Showboat and what you guys have to offer.
Yeah,
and I've really this is your fourth year.
Fourth year, yeah.
I don't think there's a show I did not enjoy. I have not enjoyed. And, you know, I do the reviews, and I'm not a critic. I just kind of review what I see, and I enjoy almost everything I see. So the reviews are usually pretty well slanted your way.
That guy who played Oscar in The Odd Couple was kind of a pain. Oh, but yeah, he had a mustache. I can't remember really what his name was.
Another good show.
Thanks.
Well, what do you want to kind of fill in folks on what's going on with the show for this next couple weeks?
Can I start?
Yes.
Okay. It's really fun. Disney's The Little Mermaid, you know, is this magical, giant Disney show. And one of the things that's really I'm looking forward to is watching kids watch the show. You know, we have a lot of magic on stage, theatrical tricks and different things that we do to help tell the story. And then at the same time, there's a lot of imagination that sort of fills in some of the blanks. Like, we don't literally go underwater, right? We use lights and we use the set to tell that story. And for me, anytime we can get young people on the Showboat, whether it's camp or a Theater for Young Audiences series, but especially the main stage productions, it's really thrilling for me to introduce professional theater to kids like that. So one of the things I'm really looking forward to this weekend is, you know, I do the curtain speeches and then I sit in the back and I usually watch many of the shows. And then I stand at the gateway at the end and say goodbye to people. I'm really excited to see all of the kids coming out of the show and be able to share that magical experience with them. That's going to be really exciting. And I think it's important for us to be able to provide that to the community. And so we want as many of those kids to come out to see the show as possible. But you don't have to be a kid to enjoy it.
That's right.
I mean, it is a full Broadway musical. But because of the Disney magic and because it's the familiarity with the movie, I think kids in particular are really going to respond to it. And that's exciting.
Okay. Any comments from Hank or Aria?
Yeah, I just think it's exciting to bring such a well-known piece of art. Like, it's Disney's The Little Mermaid. Everyone's seen it. Everyone knows it. It's really exciting to bring this story to life on stage because you just get to see these characters go from these really well-animated drawings into actual people. And I think it adds, like, even more humanity to the story. Like, it really... It's just a bunch of people who want stuff they can't have.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the Disney magic along the way of getting it.
Cool.
Yeah, and it's also a really fun space to perform the show in the showboat. Because we're really instigating, like, we're taking advantage of everything that theater has to offer, which there's a lot of unique aspects of that space that you wouldn't get to work with in other theaters. And I hope that, I mean... That provides some exciting surprises to the audience.
The director choreographer for the production is Jacob Brent, who directed last year's hit Footloose, and we're excited to have him back. He is sort of a master of spectacle and the magic, and he's actually been like a Disney fan all his life. So he was when we announced the season and we were looking for a director choreographer, he was the obvious choice, and he is making the most of the whole space and taking advantage of, you know, a lot of people always ask me, how do you do such big shows on such a small stage? You know, it is a small stage, and it does create an intimacy and a relationship with the audience that you don't get other places. But it also provides us the opportunity to do some special different things that maybe, you know, when you have the luxury of a big Broadway stage with fly space and trap doors, you know, you take the easy way out because the technology does the work for you. We use the what some may see as limitations as an opportunity to be creative. And I think audiences really love to respond. They respond to that.
Yeah. Well, I always like how you kind of use the whole theater at times in some shows, and you know, the two little kind of balcony areas above have been used a lot for many different shows.
This show is no exception.
And I like, you know, too, you said, you know, it's a small theater, and you do really have to use your imagination a lot to let your mind expand on what's going on. And no, everything's not going to be like a big Broadway production. Or I saw the Book of Mormon a couple of weeks ago down in Quad Cities. A fabulous show. But what you guys can do, again, with the small stage... It works.
Well, the thing is you're always using your imagination when you watch theater, even when you're seeing a big Broadway show with all those bells and whistles, because you are imagining that what you're watching is actually happening. You're going on the ride of that story. You know, those are just actors that are collecting paychecks and going home and, you know, getting pizza after the show or whatever. But when we go into the theater, we sort of accept that it's an opportunity to experience that magic, and we go on that ride. And so I don't think it's that crazy to praise our audiences for doing the same thing at the showboat in that unique and wonderful space. But then it also gives us, because of that intimacy, it gives us the opportunity to, you know, like Jesus sitting at the edge of this, Ben Charrington sitting at the edge of the stage singing Gethsemane. There was nothing but this incredible actor singing this incredible song face to face with the audience, and it was absolutely magical. This is a different kind of magic that we use in the big spectacle of The Little Mermaid, but it's the same thing. It's all just an opportunity to go on a ride and experience the theater magic. Yeah. And kids especially are really going to just, I just am so excited to see how they respond to it.
Cool. Yeah, I know. I mentioned in the review of the Superstar that at the end of the show, I think people didn't know whether to clap.
Yeah.
It was
a stunning.
You know, it was stunning.
It really was. I said, you know, I've never heard a crowd so quiet at the end of a show out there. But you could tell it was a crowd that enjoyed what they saw.
Yeah.
We were talking about earlier, the whole like last 20, 25 minutes of that show was just like bang, 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 that the audience was left.
Yeah.
Just shocked in the best way.
It was stunning. It was a stunning end of, like, the finale of that show was just breathtaking. Lighting design and like the everything that went into that, staging, technical aspects. It was really a beautiful way to get that story across.
And one of the cool things about doing Summer Stock in the fashion that we do it, where we go one show after another, is we have now the opportunity to go an entirely different direction with a different kind of magic, a different kind of spectacle. People won't be in stunned silence at the end of Little Mermaid, right? It's not that kind of show. And then to follow that up with Cabaret, I mean, talk about a 1-2-3 punch of different kinds of theater and a different kind of theater-going experience. It's a really exciting opportunity for us to all be able to participate in that and have that relationship with the Clint community.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, you know, you said everybody knows the story. I don't. I don't have kids. I don't have kids. I don't have grandkids. And especially, you know, that time period, didn't happen to see that. But I did read the Wikipedia.
Oh, yes. No, that's how it ends.
You know, give me a good enough synopsis. Yeah. I kind of knew what was going to happen.
But, yeah.
Now I got a little better idea to enjoy the show with a little background. But there's a lot of shows that I see that I've never seen before.
Sure.
So it helps give me a different perspective of it, too. So, now, you know, one thing we usually do is kind of find out, again, you told us a little bit about yourself. What was your spark to get into theater? When did you...
Aria's got a great story.
Yeah.
You do.
Oh, it's quite a story. We want to get into it. I won't go on.
So we got another 15 minutes.
Well, my father actually, I have a long line of performers in my family. Both my grandparents on my father's side were on Broadway, and they met doing a production of Lil Abner, I believe, and they fell in love. They had a few kids. They moved back to Texas. My father, the youngest of those kids, he actually pursued opera, and he was a lover of theater throughout his whole life. But he went to Juilliard for opera, and he became an opera singer. He was in an accident in Europe during a performance of Madame Butterfly, and his vocal cords were damaged because of that, so he had to leave performing for about 10 years. But I was born, and he named me Aria because he wanted to keep the music alive, even though he couldn't pursue it anymore. But so I grew up with a father and a family who's really passionate about the arts and theater, and I'm so lucky to have had that throughout my life because it really, you know, inspired me to pursue these things as well. And so I've had an amazing opportunity to be able to do that in high school and college and beyond, and working in professional atmospheres like this one.
Right. So that's what was maybe the first show you were in, if you can remember?
Well, okay, oddly enough, I didn't start doing acting, like musical theater, until freshman year of high school. I went to performing arts school in San Antonio, and so I did Les Miserables, and I was beggar. I always say beggar number 47 because it's high school, and you've got like 100 kids in the production. So that was my first experience, and I remember just falling in love with being on stage and telling a story and getting to be that snacksy little beggar. And
It's a good show to start with.
It was a big one to start with.
Aria is also a budding recording artist, though. She's got an album that's available on Spotify and online.
It's called Lady Nobody, if you're interested. It's kind of quirky. It's weird. It's a little out there, but that's what I specialize
that's
in.
Yeah, that's what she is.
that's what I am.
Yeah.
Well, good. You'll have to check that out. Look for it. And Hank, what's your story?
My story is a little less rooted far back. My family's... Both my parents went to the Naval Academy.
Wow.
And so that's what I thought I was going to do with my life until eighth grade. I went on my school New York trip, and I saw another Disney movie, Disney Broadway show. I saw Newsies right when it opened. And I remember, like, it was the end of the first act. They sing that big Santa Fe blackout. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to be on Broadway. I guess that's what I'm going to do when I grow up, and then I've just been pursuing it ever since.
Well, great. And what was your first show that you
My English teacher in eighth grade told me to audition for Annie, and I did, and I was Daddy Warbucks.
You were in eighth grade, you played Daddy Warbucks? Wow. That's so good.
You had the bald cap? No, shaved head.
Shaved
head?
Wow,
your head?
I did shave my head.
That is commitment.
Well, I put myself
in my
He's
going to Broadway, folks. <You do>.
Wow.
That's great.
It's awesome.
Matthew, or Maddie,
yeah.
I guess. But,
yeah, sure.
I don't think I've ever heard how you kind of got started.
When I was
sure
growing
that's
up,
an interesting story.
Sure, I mean, I'll tell you. I'll try to tell the quick version. I mean, I come from a family. My dad was an athletic director and PE teacher at a middle school, and so I grew up with a baseball and a basketball in my hand, and I was a jock kid. But my mom was really committed to exposing us to the arts, and would take us to museums and to the symphony and different things like that. And I had a friend growing up who was always doing community theater. I remember she played Amaryllis and in The Music Man, and she did a production of like Mary Poppins, and my mom would take us to see her show, and I was just mesmerized by the fact that this little girl named Amy Wood was Amy Wood when I was in class with her, but then she was Amaryllis in The Music Man. I thought it was like amazing. And so, you know, little school projects would come up here and there, but it wasn't until a few years later she was auditioning for a production of the stage adaptation of To Kill a Mockingbird, and she wanted to play Scout, and she wanted another kid her age or around her age to play Jem and to play Dill, the two other little boys. And so literally I was at her house doing a school project, and her mom put me in the van, basically, and brought me to the audition because I had always expressed this interest and seen everything that she'd done. I didn't get either one of those parts, but I played Walter Cunningham Jr., who is the kid that Scout beats up on the first day of school and then is forced to bring over to dinner as an apology. I had like three lines, but I remember, I mean, the first time I exited the stage on opening night, there was another cast member gave me a big hug and swung me around, and it felt like flying. It was like the first time I experienced like magic in my life. And I still played sports and stuff and tried to balance both, but I started getting leads in plays, and I was the backup second baseman on the baseball team. So it became obvious which I was going to do. And there were way more girls in the cast of the musicals than there were. And I was like, I was a teenager, so that made a lot of sense. And I ultimately met my wife in graduate school, so that ended up paying off.
She's here.
Baby. My baby Mattingly. Yeah. Mattingly made her, she's 2 months, a little over 2 months now. And, she made her stage debut at the Follies. She came out and got a huge ovation. It was awesome. I taught her what applause was and said that she needed to get used to that. Jamie is doing all of the office management stuff and the social media stuff, but then she's also directing the final show of the year, Tuesdays with Maury. Okay. You know, she's got a terminal degree in acting and has appeared in shows like The Glass Menagerie, and she directed that crazy actor in The Odd Couple a couple of years ago that I was talking about earlier. So she'll be directing that show too. So yeah, you know, it's a whole family experience, Showboat.
Well, and it is a family. You know, yeah. I've been in theater myself in high school and college, and you really, really make great relationships with your castmates and other stagehands and other parts of the crew.
Yeah.
I think my first show I was in, I was maybe in first grade, and me and another girl were the shortest people in our class for years, and another kid who the music director lived in the basement of their house. So they did some play at the high school, and us three were little Martians.
Nice.
And I don't think I had a line, but we had, like, I can remember nylon stocking put over our head was our main costume.
Yeah.
And I guess that's where I got the bug.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun with theater stuff, and always enjoy when I get to fill in with Dave and get to see all your shows.
Well, and we have opportunities for kids this year at the Showboat, too. Camp is a week after next. So as we're talking about all these children experiences, it seems like a perfect opportunity. I mean, if you've got, you know, listeners have kids or grandkids that might just be interested, we have a one-week-long summer camp that's the week after next. And it's getting pretty full. So if people want to register, they're going to want to register soon. But it's a great opportunity to have all kinds of acting classes and put on a little play at the end on the Showboat stage at the end of the week-long camp. But even if they don't want to be in theater, they definitely will want to come and see The Little Mermaid, because it really is a magical experience.
Now, any kids in the performance there? Is it mostly
there are no children in The Little Mermaid. We do have, obviously, we have local kids who are performing in Oliver. Mm-hmm. That's the big one this year that has the local talent. Mm-hmm. I'm not forgetting a local kid or anything, right? Okay, yeah, good. That's it.
I noticed, too, yeah, some of the local talent. You got the young guy's name Ben. That has been in several shows the last
few years. You mean Joseph.
Joseph.
I bet you mean Joseph Bruni.
Yeah.
He's been sort of my staple. He's had at least one. He played JoJo in Seussical a couple of years ago. Yeah. He played Winthrop in The Music Man. He's growing up, yeah. and he's not the little kid anymore. He's going to be playing the Artful Dodger in Oliver.
I kind of wondered.
Yeah. He's also he's not old enough to be a showboat deckhand yet, but he is performing alongside the deckhands in Shrek, which is one of our two theater for young audience shows this year. So he's sort of a mainstay.
He's a little talent.
Yeah, he's incredible.
And so are some of the others that you've got.
Absolutely.
Locals returning. Now, pretty much a whole new cast this year, isn't on the stage?
Yeah, not a lot of returning actors in the company. In fact, no returning actors in the company in terms of the professional company. Local people like Joseph and Lucas Acey, who was less in Newsies and is going to be Oliver and some people like that. But in terms of our professional resident company, it's an entirely new group. Designers that have experience on the showboat.
Yeah, I know some of their names.
Yeah.
Thinking that last year, Cash, what happened to him?
Everybody's always asked about Cash. I anticipate at some point Cash will be making an appearance on the showboat again. He's playing the role of Barfay in the Putnam County Spelling Bee at a theater company on the East Coast. He's at the point in his career, he needs to get some other professional theaters on his resume. Yeah. I can't monopolize his entire resume.
Yeah, we don't expect him to stay here every year.
I bet you he'll be back at some point, though. It feels funny being here without him. But we have some new funny and impressive actors. I think people will be like, oh, we've got our new funny guy. Am I right? Yeah.
Yes,
so wait till they see Little Mermaid and you'll be like, oh, I see who that is now.
Yeah. Excited.
Yeah.
We've still got a few minutes. Little Mermaid, the run is from this Thursday through...
I don't have the date in front of me. It's three full weekends. So it might be on the front of the program there. Three full weekends.
Yeah, July 8th.
And we've already added some special Saturday matinees because of how popular the show is and how well it's selling already. So people won't want to wait, especially if they want to bring the family and want to get like groups of four or six or eight. Box office is opening in a half an hour, but you can go online right now and buy tickets on the website. It's three full weekends with special Saturday matinees, and it really is magical. It's a big spectacle. Yeah. People are going
to
love it.
Looking forward to it, as always.
Yeah.
Now, what else you got coming up this summer? The last few minutes we can kind of run into.
Yeah, sure.
What's going on?
So, I mean, obviously, after Little Mermaid, we mentioned we're going into Counter Nab's Cabaret, which is not so family-friendly. That's the one that has got a parental advisory on it. Then we've got Lionel Bart's Oliver. Oliver, we've done at the showboat twice. The first time we did it still ranks as the highest-selling show we've ever done. Okay. Footloose came really, really close, but didn't quite pass it. Now, I will say, Oliver had a couple more performances than Footloose, so that's another thing. But then the final show of the year is the one non-musical that we're doing, Mitch Albom's Tuesdays with Maury, which is just a really moving, dramatic piece of literature and now a stage show. And then we've got the Theater for Young Audience shows, which are being performed in rotation this year. So you'll have to check the schedule to see when they're being performed. But we've got Shrek the Musical, the Theater for Young Audience version. So it's only 1 hour long, but it's features all the characters that we know, like Shrek and Fiona and Donkey. And then another real sweet Theater for Young Audience show called Dear Edwina, which is about a young girl who has an advice column for her neighbors. It's so sweet and has so much heart. And then, of course, the season announcement Follies is at the end of July. And we've actually done something different with that this year, where we've cut the price of the season announcement Follies in half. It's only $10. So it's a full night of entertainment where we'll be performing shows from next season. Maybe some favorites will be returning from this season. And you get to be the first people to hear what we're doing next year. And then following the show, we offer the absolute lowest season ticket price of the year for next year. And when when people hear what we're going to be doing, they're going to want to buy tickets. So it's a really fun night, and we cut the price in half because, you know, we just want to get as many people in the building as possible to get excited about what we're doing. You know, it's not a fundraiser event. It's an event to raise awareness and morale and all of those kinds of things. Yeah. So,
well, I missed the one here last week. Was it last week?
Yeah.
So I missed that. But I'll sure try to make it to the...
Oh, yeah, of course you will. Season. Yeah, you'll be there. Yeah. You want to know what you're going to see next year.
That's right. I guess that pretty much wraps it up. Aria and Hank, you guys look the parts. Yeah. So I think people will be impressed by that.
Wait till you hear them sing the songs, too.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. So that'll wrap it up for this version of Sitting Around Talking About Theater here on KRO.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.